Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, October 1st. That's right, October. It is NBA regular season basketball month coming up now. Hoping to get your help today for a cause in the name of an important part of the Pistons family. And this is your boy, Matt Shook, your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making this part of your daily routine this offseason, which is almost no longer. Today we're going to be talking about the Saturday open practice in Ann Arbor. I have some thoughts there. Also going to be spending some time with Marty Dobeck of the Detroit Sports Commission about his group's efforts to attract big events to the Motor City, and more importantly, talk to him about an important fundraiser his family is doing. Marty is the nephew of former Pistons PR man Matt Dobeck, who sadly committed suicide in 2010 after losing his job with the Pistons. And in his honor, the Dobeck family is taking part in the Out of the Darkness walk and downriver, and I'll pass along the details for that when we talk to Marty. I'm hoping that you guys come through and maybe send along some donations in the honor of Matt Dobeck and the Detroit Pistons organization as well. But 25 points for Andre Drummond in the open scrimmage on Saturday in Ann Arbor. He knocked down a three-pointer, which we've all been waiting to see with our own two eyes. Pretty ugly shooting all in all. Dre finished 1-for-4 from three, but disappointing to see the ugly shooting all the way around for the team. But I guess that's something that comes with preseason work. Guys work as hard as they can getting ready in the offseason with the game speed type of stuff, but it's basically impossible to simulate 100% game speed. I think we all know that, and it's a little bit different when the bright lights come on, even if they are the semi-bright lights of the preseason and open scrimmages and things like that. But I also saw that during Thursday's practice I was in Ann Arbor for a season ticket holder event that my friend's a season ticket holder, so I was his guest, to see an open practice, and they did a lot of shooting competitions that just looked off. It wasn't good for the players down there, but it was pretty ugly at times there, but you know, it's like I said, it's the preseason. No, certainly no reason to be alarmed or anything like that. But my guys Zach Lofton and also Langston Galloway got buckets on Saturday. I was happy to see that. If you listen to the pod, you know I've been riding with Lofton all the way since summer league. Vince Ellis of the Free Press wrote on Sunday, by the way, and we're into starting five talk. That's how we know that the preseason is a little bit too long in every sport, but even so in the NBA, although it's not nearly as bad as the NFL, is we're really getting into the starting five talk, which could change after game one and into game two or into game 11. But like I said, Vince Ellis of the Free Press wrote that he predicts that it will be Glenn Robinson III and Reggie Bullock, joining, of course, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Reggie Jackson if he's healthy enough to go for the first game. After he wrote a story that Dwayne Casey wouldn't tip his hand about who would be the starting lineup, maybe he's trying to figure it out himself. And I believe Justin from Detroit Bad Boys wrote an article that I saw reacting to the open scrimmage that said not to look too far into it, as Casey wouldn't tip his hand when he put for Saturday starters as the quote-unquote big three. In addition to that, had Luke Kennard and Stanley Johnson starting on the blue team with Blake, Andre, and Reggie. And I disagree. I actually think that will be the starting lineup as it sits right now, with Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard, Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond. I'm not necessarily saying that's what I would say that it would be, but my reasoning is because if that's who he's throwing out there right now to play together and try to gel, and I just think that the guys like Vince and Justin are reading too much into the clandestine nature of protecting who is in the starting lineup for right now. For game one, and probably from preseason games 1 through 5, actually, we'll be able to know, and it might just stay that way for 82 games, or at least most of the season. It's not like a big scouting advantage to know who's going to be the starting five going into the game. I would say that it's more important. Is it worth not getting the starters reps together? Like at the practice I was at Thursday night where they had that five, the big three, plus Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard working together on how to defend dribble handoffs and all that kind of stuff. Is it important for those guys to not be together on Thursday night when I saw it, or Saturday during the inter-squad scrimmage, just to fool Brooklyn for the first few minutes of the first game on October 17th? I don't think so. I mean, while everyone is learning new stuff under a new coach, I would say that it's more important to get those guys minutes together as much as you possibly can. So like I said, that's probably your starting unit. For the record, I would go on game one with Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson, along with the big three, with the caveat that Glenn Robinson III can work his way into it instead of Johnson at time. I'm not married to Johnson instead of GR3 in the starting lineup there. I do like Luke Kennard's playmaking with the second unit as opposed to the starters, and I also like Stanley Johnson's defense with the first unit, kind of mitigating the minus defense you get from Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, and also canceling the fact that obviously you would want a better three-point shooter than Stanley Johnson with the starters ideally, but you got to pick kind of your poison when you're looking at the strengths and weaknesses of each of those guys. So maybe Robinson, despite the fact that he's probably not the defender that Stanley Johnson is, maybe the fact that he's a little bit better at hitting the corner threes and spacing the floor with hitting the open jump shots, maybe that gives him the edge. And I could see that argument to be made as well. But like I said, I would prefer Bullock and Johnson to start, with the caveat that maybe that could be switched up as time goes on. And we'll see. Not too long now till we find out, with the season opening on October 17th and the preseason opening this Wednesday in Oklahoma City. I'll be watching, and I know many of you will as well. But Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, we got former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins host Matt Williamson. Wednesdays, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. And Thursdays, it is the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, you get Matt's picks there. But next, we're going to hear from Marty Dobeck of the Detroit Sports Commission about his uncle, former Pistons PR guy Matt Dobeck, here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, part of the number one local sports daily podcast network. And we know Pistons season is coming up in a couple weeks for the regular season. Can you believe it? With Vivid Seats, you can attend the game or concerts or shows of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games, the Red Wings, the Pistons, the Tigers, whoever you want to check out, to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you to get to your favorite live event. I'll see you at Little Caesars Arena this season.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by Marty Dobeck of the Detroit Sports Commission, the marketing communications manager there. We're going to talk about the Out of the Darkness Down River Walk, a fundraiser for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention as well. But Marty, thanks for taking the time for joining us here on Locked On Pistons.
Yeah, no problem, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to come on, obviously, to talk about Out of the Darkness, but, you know, things going on in the Metro Detroit area and the sports scene as it pertains to the Detroit Sports Commission.
Right. So let's talk about the Detroit Sports Commission. What is the group and what are you guys working on these days?
Yeah. So the Detroit Sports Commission, we are a wholly owned subsidiary of the Detroit Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau. So when you look at our industry, it's tourism industry, but we're sports tourism. So we're the entity in place to basically pursue amateur sporting events, so NCAA events, national governing bodies, so those Olympic sports that you see. And basically the end game for us is to attract these events to the region, to provide, you know, economic impact, improve the quality of life, get people here in Metro Detroit, in downtown Detroit, and just see the things that are going on here, and, you know, get them spending a room night on a hotel, going out to restaurants and attractions, and just seeing what this region has to offer.
And we were talking off mic here a little bit about the big event that you're working on these days coming up end of January. Talk about what's coming up for sports fans here in the Detroit area.
Yeah, so we're involved with events small to big. You know, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships will be coming back to Detroit for the first time in 25 years. 1994 was the last time that national championship was hosted here. Before I get into that, you know, next weekend or this coming weekend, we'll have Motown Invitational, which is an event that we partner with Legacy Global Sports, the big hockey tournament in the Metro Detroit area that brings a ton of people and gets them in, I want to say, close to 20 different hockey centers in the area. So you know, definitely a great opportunity with that event. But, you know, kind of the holy grail coming up here for us is the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which, you know, it's the prestigious event for figure skating in the United States. And it's coming to Detroit. It's going to take place at Little Caesars Arena. That NGB, National Governing Body of U.S. Figure Skating, is super excited to be back in the market. You know, Little Caesars Arena, really, that coming to fruition was kind of the nail for figure skating to get back in the market here. So it's going to be a great event to host. Obviously, coming out of the Olympics, there's some great names that are going to be involved, like the Nathan Chen on the men's side. You have Brady Tennell, ice dancing and pair skating. I mean, there's just a lot of great names involved with that event. And so we're partnering, as we do with a lot of events, with the known entities in town, with, 313 Presents, Little Caesars Arena, Detroit Skating Club, which is one of the renowned skating clubs in the country. Jared Swallow, who is the managing director there, is also serving as a director of the games here, and is an Olympic skater. Him and his wife were ice dancers and appeared in a couple of Olympics. So there's a lot of history here, and Detroit is a skating hub. So it really makes sense that this event is finally returning here to Metro Detroit. So it's going to be a fun-filled event for, you know, the casual fan, the families, to your figure skating fanatics.
Yeah, it seems like every Winter Olympics, there's at least some U.S. Or even international stars that are training here in the Detroit area that are representing. And obviously, we remember one of the biggest, most infamous figure skating moments happened right here in Detroit with the Nancy Kerrigan incident. And obviously, we're hoping that something like that doesn't happen, anything like that, this January. But you mentioned the Motown Invitational Classic. I look on the website of the Detroit Sports Commission. There's things almost every weekend. If Detroit sports fans, obviously, you check out the Pistons games and the Red Wings games and everything like that. But there's events all over the place. And I can assume in your position that it only makes it more exciting and that much better to have places like Little Caesars Arena, places like Ford Field, that's also new, right in that downtown venue there, that makes it a pretty exciting and attractive place for Detroit to attract these events, big and small.
No doubt. And, you know, with Little Caesars Arena coming on board, and that really just stamped, you know, the District Detroit, obviously, with those three venues, Comerica Park, Little Caesars Arena, and Ford Field, all being within blocks of each other, creating what they're calling, you know, the greatest sports density in the United or North America, as it pertains to the teams playing within walking distance of each other. So it's a real attractive piece. And, you know, when we look at it from a, you know, a sports tourism standpoint or a sports commission standpoint, that just creates more opportunities to, you know, us to kind of get the message out there about Detroit and to maybe, you know, teams, professional teams from Indiana and Illinois, Wisconsin, you know, that Midwest corridor, to say, you know what, why don't you guys come to Detroit, watch your teams on the road, we're within, you know, a 5 hour or less drive time, and experience it, especially at these venues, which are so great and renowned. I mean, Little Caesars Arena, I mean, it's going to be, it's trending to be the world's busiest arena in 2017, 2018. And, you know, it's already received so many accolades, Sports Business Journal, Facility of the Year. And you know, everything going up around it is exciting. And there's something to do. Midtown, downtown, Greektown, you know, the Central Business District, Campus Martius Park, the Riverwalk. I mean, the opportunities are endless, fall, winter, spring and summer, to really get a chance to maybe come see their teams on the road, like I said and hinted at, to, you know, really experience what the District Detroit has to offer. So, yeah, I mean, we said it when the plans were announced, I mean, that it was going to be a game changer for our organization and in our industry. And so far it's proven to be. I mean, we were awarded the NCAA tournament last year, or we hosted the NCAA tournament last year, but we were awarded in 2014 before a shovel was even in the ground to take place at Little Caesars Arena. And coming right off of that, we were awarded seven different NCAA national championship events that three of them will be hosted at Little Caesars Arena. So that whole area, that arena, I mean, it's just already paying dividends for our organization and, more importantly, the Metro Detroit region.
Yeah, some big events coming to the Detroit area. Congratulations to your group for the successes there. But obviously the big carrots out there are maybe a return of the Final Four to possibly Ford Field, or maybe, you know, the Super Bowl coming back. For the huge events like that we've had these last decade or so, how does that process go, and how does the Detroit Sports Commission kind of wrangle all the things that need to be wrangled to put those kind of bids together when those things come up?
Yeah, you know, our organization has been around since 2001, and it's very, very common for major cities, mid-major cities, to have an entity of ours, like ours, set up to kind of have those continuous conversations with the NCAA, with, you know, obviously the professional sports leagues, which, you know, the teams kind of carry that relationship. But from an NCAA standpoint, a national governing body standpoint, we're with them, you know, on sometimes day-to-day basis, talking, emailing, you know, carrying on those relationships to when a bid gets put out for a proposal. So, you know, we call it an RFP in, you know, our organization or our industry. We'll look at that. We'll kind of see what, like, okay, a Final Four, what's our venue? Where are things trending? Where should we go? You know, and in that case, we'll talk to a Ford Field, and we'll analyze it and evaluate it to make sure it's the right thing to do for the community, because there's funding involved. There's, when I say funding, it's fundraising. Each city has to raise a certain dollar amount and things of that nature. So before you even take that step, you got to really sit back and make sure it makes sense. You know, everybody wants to host those marquee events, but you also need to really put your due diligence in and make sure it's the right thing to do. So from there, it's usually putting together a nice bid package to showcase this destination, showcase the venue, your hotels, your restaurants. I mean, what it is you have to offer. You're giving your pitch on your destination, and you know there's always a lot of back and forth, and usually it's great feedback that you'll receive from an entity, and there's a lot of dialogue. And most of the bid processes nowadays are similar. You know, some can have some, you know, different requirements that they may have and during the process, but most of them are about the same these days. So we take it from there, and, you know, hopefully when the bid's submitted and you give your pitch, you know, you hear favorable news for your destination to be awarded that event. So then the real work begins after that, is when you're awarded something. Just doesn't stop there for our organization. We see it from its infant stages all the way to the end. So we want to get the event, get them here, and make sure when they leave out of town, it's with a favorable impression.
Talking here to Marty Dobeck of the Detroit Sports Commission. Marty's uncle, Matt Dobeck, was the PR man for the Pistons during the glory days for 27 years, but sadly he died in 2010, 8 years ago, in a suicide. Marty's family is participating in the Out of the Darkness Downriver Walk on October 14th at the Lake Erie Metro Park. But about your uncle, Marty, he had to keep the stories of the Bad Boys out of the press, and that must have been quite a job. We had Scott Hastings on the show last week talking about putting newspaper up over the windows in the locker room so no one could see at times. But still, talking to journalists who covered the team at that time, they all loved and respected your uncle. That still had to be kind of a crazy time and a crazy team to be in that particular job for.
Yes, it was. I mean, I was born in 1986, so, you know, I didn't get to live it with him, but definitely, you know, obviously heard through my father, my mother, grandmother, you know, just all the stories that took place, obviously firsthand from him. But one thing that is so interesting is my uncle and the Bad Boys, you know, Isaiah Joe, Bill Laimbeer, you know, Vinny and John Sally. I mean, they were the same age. They grew up together. I mean, he was growing as a person and growing professionally, you know, as an individual. They were growing personally and professionally as individuals. So it seemed that they saw eye to eye. And I think that was very helpful during that process, to where there was an understanding between the both of them, like, you know, I'm here to help you out along the way. And from a player to a PR person, you know, I'll help you along the way. Because there's always the press world. You know, there's interviews that publications want and outlets want, and from a PR standpoint, you need to fulfill those requests. It takes a lot of back and forth wrangling, as you know, Matt, having worked in, you know, the industry. And I think he was just very good at that. I mean, he had the trust of the players. He had the trust of Chuck Daly. Chuck looked at Matt as a son, and my uncle looked at Chuck as a father figure of sorts. You know, unfortunately, my grandfather passed away in the early 80s. And, you know, when Matt just got started with the Pistons and Chuck just got started. So, you know, there was just, they were family. And when you do, you really spend so much time together that trust factor just, it builds. And I think that's why it was just such a good relationship during that era.
Yeah, it obviously was. And I'm reading Matt's book that he wrote with Isaiah Thomas, Bad Boys, an inside look at the Detroit Pistons 1988-89 championship season. I read it many, many years ago and just picked it up off the shelf the other day and started to go through it. So obviously just that, you know, that Isaiah would go for a side project and go straight to Matt to help him out with it is obviously an indication of how those guys felt about him. I met your uncle at the CMU Journalism Hall of Fame induction night, and Vinnie Johnson was there to introduce him there that night. Have those Pistons figures kind of expressed to you since his death how much that he meant to them? Has there been a lot of, you know, outpouring during those years since then?
Yes. You know, I mean, Vinny and Rick Mahorn, James Edwards, you know, Isaiah, obviously the condolences and reaching out and expressing, you know, obviously their sadness with the loss of my uncle. But yeah, I mean, I bounced around the Palace a little bit, and now Little Caesars Arena, staying in touch with those individuals. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be working in this industry to where we do cross paths still, and it is good to hear from him and share good memories. And, you know, obviously, you know, what transpired with my uncle and how it ended is so sad. And, but at the same time, I mean, it's something that I, you know, my family and I, we've really embraced to, you know, recognize that it's, you know, not just happening to us, and there's so many people affected around the country and the world, you know, with this epidemic. But back to your point, Matt, yes, they've been there along the way for us, and you know, and are just a phone call away. I mean, my brother and I, we play in George Blaha's golf outing every year, his High Hopes Invitational, and with Kevin Grigg, the PR director, and we carry those relationships on. And the Pistons have been great contributors to our cause with the Out of Darkness Walk, and have really been on board with it. And it's been good. I mean, we've all been just getting through it together, because it's, you know, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, and I can attest to being a member of the press and dealing with sports information staff at the college level and PR people at the pro level, all across the country, all across the world, actually, and how much it makes our job helpful when it's someone who you can have a nice give and take with. And from what I understand about Matt and his work with the Detroit Pistons, that he was a consummate professional, but also someone that people enjoyed working with as well. Remembered as such throughout the, not just the Detroit Pistons family, but throughout the NBA as well. Now, Marty, you mentioned that your family doing all you can to kind of keep his name alive and to have things move positively in terms of this issue in itself. Why don't you tell us about the Out of the Darkness Downriver Walk coming up and how you guys got started in it. And what kind of day that's been like for the Dobek family over the years?
Yeah, you know, when my uncle passed in 2010, you know, obviously there was a mourning period, and, you know, there we were obviously looking for things to help us during that very difficult time. And my father and my mother, you know, they kind of came across the Out of Darkness Foundation through a colleague of my mother's. You know, she works in the Allen Park school system and came across it. And she said, you know what, maybe you guys should check this out. So my mom and my dad were the first to participate, and they went out and they just kind of, you know, checked it out and took it in. And, you know, my dad's like, you know what, you guys, we should do this next year. So came back the next year and we walked and took it all in, and just like, wow, this could be really beneficial. And then, you know, the following year is when we really started to ramp up efforts and really started to communicate the message about this walk and how it could be beneficial to not only our family, but to the community we live in, and obviously carry on my uncle's name. And, you know, our team name is Matt's Memory. And, you know, we've been doing it now for 3-4 years and raised just under $20,000 for the Out of Darkness Foundation and it's the American Society of Suicide Prevention, excuse me. And that's where the dollars raised go to, and everything that is raised, which is very nice, is that it stays in that community and it goes to guidance counseling centers. It goes to local middle schools and high school counselors to help with the funding that is needed to really help others that are suffering from depression and anxiety. And it really is obviously something that needs to be funded and needs to grow over the years, since the more and more that we hear about things in the news and we hear about individuals close to us or a friend of a friend. I mean, it's just, it's sad, but at the same time, there's things out there that people can do to get involved and talk about it. I mean, I think the most important thing is we talk about this and, you know, we find ways to help each other along the way, and it can really pay dividends down the road.
Well, Marty, hats off to you and your family for continuing to keep Matt's memory alive in this way. I think we've all known and been touched by this particular issue, and then hopefully that the word can get out to help out others who are dealing with depression. Again, it's the Out of Darkness Downriver Walk, a fundraiser for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, October 14th at the Lake Erie Metro Park. And you guys are, Matt's Memory is the name of the group that Marty Dobeck and his family are going to be walking in. You can, at afsp.donordrive.com is how to find out. And if listeners of the podcast want to donate, I'm going to pass along the link on my social media sites, the Facebook and the Twitter feeds, that can help out to help raise money. And then I'm assuming that folks, if they want to maybe set up a team of their own to walk in someone's memory, I'm guessing they could probably still do that as of now for that walk coming up. Do you know if that might be true, Marty?
Yes, absolutely. You can do it up until the day of the walk. They're happy to get you registered on site even. And, you know, it's great. I mean, it's good to, you know, obviously get involved and, you know, even create a team of your own and get involved. So appreciate that, Matt.
Great. Well, Marty Dobeck, thanks for your time. The Detroit Sports Commission, keep up the good work there. And I hope you guys have a good family weekend and enjoy it on October 14th and keep your uncle's memory alive and enjoy those times together.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the kind words.
And that was Marty Dobeck. Thanks to him for joining us here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. I will be passing along the links to contribute to the Dobeck Family Fund that they are creating for this year's walk. I'll pass it along on my Twitter feed at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore on after that. That's the Twitter handle. Also the Twitter handle, Lockdown Pistons, and also at the Facebook page, Lockdown Pistons-Matt Schoch. I'll be passing along those links if you guys would like to contribute. And thanks again to the Dobeck family for doing that and for keeping the memory of Matt Dobeck alive through such a great way going forward. But the Locked On NBA podcast never went away, and it's still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Also, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app for memories that will last a lifetime. Use promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season. Thanks again to Marty Dobeck for taking the time to talk to us about the Detroit Sports Commission and the Out of the Darkness Downriver Walk on October 14th at the Lake Erie Metro Park. This is your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, Matt Schoch, saying thanks for joining us here today, and we'll talk to you guys later on this week as the Pistons season continues to draw closer and closer every single day. Have a good day, everyone.